First Peter chapter 1, our text once again this week will be verses 10 through 12. Let's now give our attention to God's holy word. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you that in these last days you have spoken unto us by your Son. In times past you sent prophets, you sent men to proclaim your word to your people. But in these last days, God has become man and spoken to us. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that you would help us to hear his voice tonight in his word. We pray that as the word of God is proclaimed here, that we would have ears not merely to hear the sounds, but to truly listen to what you have to say to us through this passage of scripture. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What does the first half of your Bible have to do with the second half? What does the Old Testament have to do with the New Testament? Well, last week we began our study of 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12, and sought to answer that very question. Peter is speaking to an audience that is in Asia Minor, what would be modern day Turkey, and likely, although there's some debate about whether he's writing to Jews or Gentiles, but I think it's likely that there's both. There's both believing Jews and Gentiles in the mix of people that he is addressing, but he wants them to understand that the salvation they have heard of in Christ, in the preaching of the gospel, and the salvation that they have received in Jesus Christ is something very ancient. It is something that was spoken of by the Old Testament prophets. It's not new. It's not novel. It didn't spring out of the blue. It has its roots in the Old Testament. So we began by looking at the salvation that the prophets prophesied about. What was their message? Peter says in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. What did the prophets speak about? What did they prophesy concerning? They prophesied about the grace that was coming. In other words, the salvation that was coming through Jesus Christ and his first coming into the world, his death, and his resurrection. We talked about that last time and how the prophets spoke about the Messiah who was to come, the grace that was going to come in a surprising way to Gentiles as well as Jews, that the Messiah was going to come and suffer and that there would be glory to follow. So that was the message of the prophets. Now we want to move on to two additional areas. We want to think tonight about a salvation not only prophesied by the Old Testament prophets, but salvation that was investigated by them. They sought to understand the meaning of the prophecies that God had given through them. And then finally, we'll finish up by thinking about salvation reported, how the salvation was prophesied in the Old Testament, investigated by those prophets, and finally reported by the apostles and preachers of the gospel in the New Testament. So let's begin tonight by thinking about salvation investigated. Look at verse 10 again. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. So here we're dealing with the prophets looking into and trying to understand what God had revealed through them And look at the terminology that is used here. First word that is used is inquired. That is to say, they are seeking and searching for the meaning of the prophecies that God was giving through them. Second word in verse 10 there is searched diligently. And we might say investigated. They investigated these prophecies that God had given them. And then, of course, the third word, very similar in verse 11 there, searching. So the total picture here, when you put those three words together, is of the prophets being diligent to investigate their own prophecies and figure out what is it that God is saying here? What is it that God is communicating through us? I'm sure you have at some point pored over a manual, maybe, or a book, trying to find out about how something worked. You know, maybe you got a new piece of equipment and you had to go to the manual. I know men don't use manuals, but, you know, humor me. Ladies, okay, ladies, you use manuals, right? You look at the directions. You pour over, you turn from this page to that page, and like, well, that's not what I'm looking for. And you're searching, you're investigating, you're trying to figure the thing out. That's the basic picture here of the prophets diligently investigating and trying to discern what is the ultimate meaning of the prophecy, of the revelation that God had given them. What is the specific focus of their search? Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time? So they are trying to figure out the time frame and the circumstances that these things are going to be fulfilled. When are these things going to happen and how is this going to work? Some English translations, for example, the New American Standard, has who or what manner of time. But if we put all that together, regardless of the precise translation of that, the basic picture is they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to discern, is this going to happen in our time? What are the circumstances surrounding this? Because if you look through the Old Testament prophecies, you've got prophecies about a suffering Messiah, and you've got prophecies about a glorious Messiah. And so they're trying to put all this together. How is this going to work? So they are investigating it. Now, maybe that raises a question in your mind. Why would the Old Testament prophets have to investigate their own message? They preached it, didn't they? I mean, you know, you say, Pastor Nick, if you bring me a message, and then you say, you know, I'm really diligently trying to figure out what this message is about that I gave to you. You might think, what's wrong with that guy? Doesn't he know what it means? He's delivering the message. Why is that? Why would the Old Testament prophets have to search and seek to understand the meaning of their prophecies? Well, there's a few reasons. Here's reason number one. The Old Testament prophets had a limited understanding. They didn't know everything. God didn't reveal everything to them. They had a limited understanding of what God had given to them and when these things were going to be fulfilled and how these things were going to be fulfilled. For example, you read the book of Daniel and you encounter Daniel having these visions, but Daniel doesn't always understand them and he needs help. For example, Daniel 8. Then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning. So he saw the vision, but he didn't understand what its meaning was, so he's trying to figure out the meaning of it. That suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Okay, so there's an illustration of Old Testament prophet receiving revelation from God, having this vision from God, and he's trying to get it. He's trying to understand it. That's the picture. Reason number two, the reason why the prophets had to investigate their own message was because God was speaking through them, right? They didn't come up with this. They didn't invent this on their own. They didn't decide one morning, hey, I think I'm going to invent a message and preach it to the people today and give it to the people today. No, no. In the Old Testament, we've got a human author. Yes. We've got Moses or Jeremiah or Isaiah, right? But we've got God, the primary author, speaking through them. The Holy Spirit moving the prophets and speaking through them. 2 Peter 1:20 to 21. This is a classic passage on the inspiration of Scripture. And it's applicable here too. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What was going on when the prophets delivered their message? The Holy Spirit was speaking through them. It was God speaking through them. The origin of their message was not themselves. It was God. And you see that here in the passage as well. Verse 11 again. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand. Who was testifying beforehand? The Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit was in the prophets, speaking through the prophets, moving them, and giving them the message that they proclaimed. So that is another reason why they would have to seek to understand its meaning and investigate its ultimate significance. The third reason is that the gospel, although it is pointed forward to in the Old Testament, is still a mystery in the Old Testament. It is something that is yet to be fully revealed. For example, Romans 16. Paul says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began." What was that mystery? It was the mystery of the gospel of Jesus coming, of Jesus saving Jews, yes, but also Gentiles and bringing them into one body, one family through his death and his resurrection. This was a mystery in the Old Testament. It was something that was revealed in types and shadows and was yet to be revealed in all of its fullness in the New Testament. So here we have the Old Testament prophets, and they are studying. They're investigating. They're trying to figure out what these things mean. And what does that tell you? It tells you this is something worth studying. This is something worth investigating. Salvation, Jesus Christ, his suffering, and the glory that would follow, is something so great that the Old Testament prophets were trying to figure it out. Have you ever really applied yourself to some course of study? Maybe at college. Maybe you had to train to get a new job and you had to go to school again, or you had to work hard to learn some new skill or something like that. Now, if we're talking about your livelihood, you usually study pretty hard, right? You'll work hard. You'll read the books. You'll take the tests. You'll do the investigation. You'll do the research because it's important to you. Well, it doesn't get any more important than this. And the Old Testament prophets knew that. And so what were they doing? They were studying. They were investigating. And that's an encouragement for us to do the same thing. If the Old Testament prophets were diligent in trying to understand this with their limited perspective, how much more should we be diligent students trying to understand this? Trying to understand all we can about the Bible, all we can about Jesus, and the salvation that he has brought us through his death and resurrection. To be honest, Christians are lazy at times. Now, I know that wouldn't be any of you, right? Certainly not me. But somewhere out there, there's some lazy Christians, right? There's some Christians who, you know, they might give a little bit of time to their Bible. They might give a little bit of their time to a Christian book. That's pushing it. But we've got a lot of time for movies. You've got a lot of time for TV. Got a lot of time for news. Why is that? Well, there may be a variety of reasons for it. One of the reasons most likely is that we don't realize what a great treasure we have. Perhaps we have forgotten how awesome this is. How great it is that Jesus has come, has died for our sins, has risen again on the third day. And the prophets of the Old Testament, they're like, when is this going to happen? How is this going to work? God, how are you going to do these things? And they want to know.
But we live on the other side of this, right? It's been revealed. We've received it. And we can read about it in the book. How much more diligent should we be at investigating the meaning of those things that have been fully revealed through Jesus Christ? Okay, so there is the work the Old Testament prophets put into trying to understand what was revealed through them. And now we want to move to our third and final area, and that is salvation reported. The salvation that they prophesied about, that they investigated, has now been reported. And that's in verse 12. Unto whom, that is the prophets, it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. So here we have salvation being reported, announced, proclaimed. That word goes well with the word gospel. What does gospel mean? It means good news. What do you do with news? You announce it. You report it. And that's what the preachers of the gospel did. That's what Peter and Paul and the apostles and the disciples of Christ, they went out everywhere and they proclaimed what Jesus had done, what Jesus had accomplished. And Peter's point is that salvation, that gospel message that was proclaimed to you, that's not a new thing. That's not a novel thing. It didn't come out of the blue. No, that's the same salvation that the Old Testament prophets spoke about and were trying to understand. It's that very salvation that has now been announced to you through the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel salvation. This should draw us back to the summary of the content of the Old Testament prophet's message that Peter gave us. Let's look at verse 10 again. What did they prophesy about? They prophesied of the grace that should come to you. God's unmerited favor and salvation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus. What have Christians in the New Testament era received? We've received God's grace, his loving kindness, his favor toward undeserved sinners like ourselves. The prophet spoke about the sufferings of Christ, verse 11. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, what did Paul preach to the church at Corinth? He told them, 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. So Paul comes and preaches that Jesus suffered and died to pay the penalty for sin. Where did that come from? It came from the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets spoke about the sufferings of Christ. And now you've got Paul, Peter, and others announcing that Jesus has come and done it. He's accomplished it. And then finally, the glory that would follow. End of verse 11 there. Of course, Peter, Paul, the other apostles, they preached the gospel, and they preached not only the death of Christ, but they preached also the resurrection of Christ. That Jesus not only suffered and died, but he rose again. And you could see his glory in that. 1 Peter 1:21, right here in this first chapter here. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Okay, so you see Peter is drawing the connection between the Old Testament and what these believers have heard and received in the first century. Now, there's another important link here, and that's the Holy Spirit. Look at how the Holy Spirit is involved in both testaments, in both time periods. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. The Spirit of Christ was at work in the Old Testament. The Spirit of Christ was moving the prophets and speaking through the prophets about the Christ who was to come. Verse 12. Which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the what? With the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. The same Holy Spirit that spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament, he came down from heaven, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, came upon the apostles, the disciples, and they went out and preached the gospel. Right? You see the connection there. Holy Spirit speaking through the prophets in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit empowering the apostles in the New Testament to proclaim the gospel. So there is continuity between those two things. Right? It's not Old Testament about something completely different, New Testament about something else. No, they go together. There is continuity there. Let's look at an example here together of an Old Testament prophecy that you might initially read it and not think it has anything to do with the New Testament and what's going on in the New Testament, but it actually does. So keep your finger here in 1 Peter, and let's go to Amos. Amos chapter 9. You say, Pastor, where is Amos? It's somewhere in the Old Testament. It's toward the back. Find Jonah and then just start flipping around and you'll get it. Amos 9. There you go. Amos 9 in verse 11 and 12. In that day, Amos says, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that does this. Now, many people, when they read that, what do they immediately think of? The prophet is talking about how the Lord is going to raise up the tabernacle of David and restore it. Now, many Jewish people would have in that day, and many Christian people even in this day, would interpret that to mean some sort of resurrection or restoration of the Jewish monarchy, right? The Jewish state, the power of the nation of Israel. But when you turn to the pages of the New Testament, you find out that that's not what it's about at all. So now, let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. You know where Acts is, so you don't need any help for that one, I don't guess. Acts chapter 15, and beginning at verse 14. All right, here we are in Acts 15, and the matter of controversy is Gentiles are becoming Christians. They're believing in Jesus, and there are certain Jewish believers who want them to be circumcised and want to teach them to keep the law of Moses. And so there's this dispute going on about what Gentile converts should or should not have to do. Okay, Acts 15 and beginning of verse 14. And this is James speaking. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Okay, so he says, Simon Peter has told us how God has visited the Gentiles and brought salvation to them. He's talking about Cornelius, remember? Cornelius and his household. Verse 15, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. And now guess what he's going to do? He's going to quote Amos. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who does all these things. See, Pastor Nick, why did you give us that example? Because it is an example of Old Testament prophets speaking about things that are fulfilled in the days of the New Testament. They're fulfilled in what God is doing in his people in the days of the apostles. Many times people think Old Testament, it's about this. Maybe it's all about the nation of Israel. And the New Testament, that's about something different. The New Testament, maybe that's about the church. And they've got a real sharp line between those two things. Say, we must not mix these things up. And I won't name any names. You probably know who and what I'm already talking about. That is completely contrary to what Peter is teaching us here. What Peter is teaching us is that the message of the Old Testament prophets is what you see going on in the New Testament. The fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, they find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ and in what goes on in the pages of the New Testament. When I was in undergraduate university, I went to High Point University in High Point, North Carolina, and we had a Bible class. I think that's what it was. They should have been ashamed to call it that. They should have called it, I don't know, liberal professors, you know, mumbo jumbo or something. I don't know. But that doesn't sound too good on the program, right? So we had this Bible class and we were in the Old Testament. And I would raise my hand to answer a question or make a comment. I really wasn't trying to be a troublemaker. I probably was a little bit of a troublemaker. But I raised my hand to make a comment and I would go to the New Testament to say, well, wait a second, the New Testament says this. And his response to me was, stop doing that. Stop that. You don't go to the New Testament. The New Testament's not going to tell you what the Old Testament means. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help us. These are two separate things. That's the assumption he was operating out of, that these are things that need to be kept separate. But brothers and sisters, these are things that need to be kept together, not kept separate. The Old Testament points forward to the New Testament. We find our Lord Jesus Christ in the pages of the Old Testament. We see him in symbol and type and shadow. And we turn to our New Testament and we find him revealed in all of his fullness and glory. And it's important that we understand that. Moreover, Peter says here that although the Old Testament prophets investigated and tried to understand what God was saying through them, they did ultimately reach a conclusion, beginning of verse 12. Unto whom, that is the prophets, it was revealed. So they did get revelation. They got additional revelation. What was that? That not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. So what did God do? He revealed what was coming in Christ to the Old Testament prophets. They're trying to figure it out. And then God reveals to them, this isn't for you, it's for a future generation. You won't see the fulfillment of this in your days. You won't see all these things come to pass in your time, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi. No, this is for a future generation. And he uses an interesting word here in verse 12. He says, but unto us they did minister. That word minister is diakoneo. We get our English word deacon from it. You know what a deacon is. A deacon is a servant. A deacon is like a waiter. Someone who comes and cleans up after the mess or serves food and drink to others is a servant. Guess what the Old Testament prophets were? They were our servants. They served up a revelation that was ultimately not to come to pass in their days, but it was to come to pass in the days of Peter's audience. And now we, on the other side of this, see it's been served up. It's been ministered by these Old Testament prophets to us for our benefit. Matthew Poole, the great Puritan Bible commentator, puts it this way. They did spread the table that you might feed at it. They had but a taste by faith and at a distance of those things you feast upon in their accomplishment. You see, the Old Testament prophets, they're serving. What are they doing? They're serving for a future generation. And that's us. Now, one more thing before we conclude tonight, and it's an important thing. It's at the end of verse 12. All of these things, the salvation that the prophets prophesied about, investigated, the salvation that was reported in the preaching of the gospel, Peter concludes verse 12 by saying, which things, that salvation that he's been talking about, which things the angels desire to look into. Now that goes quite nicely with the prophets, right? The prophets were looking into things. prophets were investigating things, trying to understand it. Guess who else is trying to understand it? Guess who else is looking into it? The angels themselves are. Now, if that's not a mind-blowing thought, I don't know what is. The salvation that you've received by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, the angels in glory, they want to know about it. They want to know more about it. They want to understand it better. The language that is used here is the language of desire, first of all, which things the angels desire. They have a strong desire to understand the salvation that you've received in Christ. And then there is that looking into, that translation there, look into, that same word is used of those who came to the tomb of Jesus and they stooped down to look in and examine it. What's going on here? Where is the body? For example, Luke 24:12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb and stooping down, he stoops down to get a look, to look into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So we've got angels who are eager to look into the salvation that we have received in Jesus Christ. Think about that. The angels are exalted beings who dwell in God's very presence. You think of like Isaiah 6, where you've got the angels who are guarding God's throne, worshiping Him, chanting that song over and over again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. These angelic beings, they want to know about what you have. They want to know about what we have received. Now, when I was a kid, my mom from time to time would tell us that we did not know how good we had it. That's what parents are supposed to say to their children, right? You just don't know how good you have it. And usually there'd be a story about some kid somewhere suffering because we were complaining about dinner or, you know, we didn't want to eat our food or something like that. Now, mom was right. We kind of rolled our eyes at the time, but mom was right. We didn't know how good we had it. We didn't know what a privileged position and place we had in this particular family. Now, what about you? If you had to pick a time to live in, what time period would you want to live in? Would you want to go back to the days of the Old Testament? You say, well, I'd kind of like to see the parting of the Red Sea. Wouldn't that be awesome? And you stand there with Moses and watch the waters. You know, God form a wall of water on either side and dry land right down the middle and the whole nation goes through on dry land. Or what about the Battle of Jericho? Wouldn't that have been great? To be there at Jericho and march around the city and see the walls crumble, fall down. What about Elijah on Mount Carmel? Wouldn't that have been exciting? To see that fire fall from heaven, consume the sacrifice, dry up all the water, and basically consume everything. And all the people fall on their faces and say, the Lord, He is God. That would have been exciting. But actually, the time period in which you live is better. Why would I say such a thing? Because we live on this side of the fulfillment of what those Old Testament books and prophets looked forward to. We now look back, right? We look back to Jesus coming and fulfilling what the Old Testament prophets had spoken about. We have a privileged knowledge. Think about it. The Old Testament prophets, they didn't understand it all. They had a very limited understanding of things. And they had to try and figure it out and discern what God was saying. But you've got an entire Bible that records for you all that Christ came and did and accomplished in His life, death, and resurrection. We have a privileged position as believers in Jesus Christ on this side of the cross. And it's important that we not forget that.
Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 13, "For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Jesus says to his disciples, there are many prophets and righteous men they long to see these days. They long to see the coming of the Messiah and the fulfillment of the prophecies that they had been given. And they were trying to understand, but you've seen it. You've heard it. The things they long to see, the things they long to hear about, you've received. It's been reported to you by those who preach the gospel with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. The salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is truly great. It's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. And may God give us grace to understand the treasure that we have. The wonderful treasure that we have in a completed Bible that records for us all that Christ did to fulfill what the Old Testament prophets had spoken about. We have a privileged knowledge and a privileged position. These believers in the first century here that Peter is writing to, they're going to suffer. They're already suffering. They're already going through hard times and difficulties. And this is one of those things that helps get them through it. They are to remind themselves, yes, we're suffering. Yes, this is hard. But look at what we have. We have the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophets could only look forward to. We've received it. Let's hang on to it. Let's rejoice in it and be faithful. And we have to do the same thing, right? When the trials and the temptations come for us, we have to make sure that we value and treasure Jesus Christ and the salvation that He has given us, and not toss it away for something lesser. Not toss it away for sin and its momentary pleasure. Not toss it away for the world's favor. But we recognize how great is the salvation that we have in Christ. And we persevere in faith, loving Him, trusting in Him, and rejoicing in Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this portion of Scripture here in 1 Peter. We have learned of our place of privilege. We are privileged indeed to live on this side of the cross, to live on this side of the time of fulfillment. The Old Testament prophets could only look forward to what we often take for granted. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us not to do that any longer, but to recognize that the salvation we have is so great that the angels long to look into it, that the prophets desperately wanted to know what it was about, how it was all going to work. And now it's been reported and announced to us. Lord, we pray that You would help us to appreciate the salvation that has been reported to us in the preaching of the gospel. What a precious, precious thing, Lord. And we pray for grace to remember just how great salvation is and treasure it all of our days. And we pray for help to do these things this very week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As you leave tonight, may grace be with you. Amen.